This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a happy day and a wonderful day to be together as the family of God, those of us who are worshiping in the sanctuary and those who are joining us over live stream. The Holy Spirit keeps us connected to one another, and I am so glad to be with all of you. We are excited to be entering a new phase of life together where we are able to worship together. Those who are vaccinated are welcome to remove your masks. We wanted to let you know that all of us who are leading worship, your clergy staff, your program staff, are all fully vaccinated, in case that gives some reassurance to many of you. We will probably be putting on our masks as we work with children most especially, since those 12 and under don't yet have access to the vaccine, but we're excited to be able to see many faces this morning. As we head into the summer, I just have a few announcements about opportunities to gather and learn together. Next Sunday, we're beginning our new Sunday school series for our children. Children 2 years and younger, we will have childcare available beginning for the 8:45 service all the way through the Sunday school hour. And for other children, they will gather on the playground for Sunday school starting at 9:45 this summer. Our youth will be doing a hybrid Sunday school option, so youth who are here in the building can gather in the youth area, and those joining from home can join in over Zoom. And then adults have the same hybrid option. We'll have Dr. Matthew Charlton teaching our summer series, and he will be in the theater. And so we invite, if you're not part of a Sunday school class and want to come to the fourth story theater, you can take part in that way. If you're in a Sunday school class, you can gather in your Sunday school class rooms and participate together that way. And of course, always welcome to join us over live stream. That class will be live streamed as well. Other announcements as we gather this morning. Don and Kathy Barnett are church members who are committed and deeply involved in our community, and want to invite those who would like to wear orange next week as a way of raising awareness around gun violence in our community and in our world, and to continue praying for victims of gun violence. There's also a new group starting called Creative Hands, and this is a group for those who are interested in fellowship and knitting and stitching, and they will meet in person for the first time on Tuesday, June 1st at 2:30 in room 305. And even if you've never done it before, you're welcome to come. They'll have supplies for beginners, and it's a great way to share in time and fellowship together. I think that is it as far as announcements. This is an important weekend, both in the life of our nation and in the church. This is, in our country, this is Memorial Day weekend, a day when we remember those who have lost their lives in the violence of war, and we pray for their families and for peace throughout our world. And then today, in the church's calendar, is Trinity Sunday, when we remember the very nature of our God is relationship. Creator, Redeemer, and Holy Spirit. So in that midst of the loving relationship of the Holy Trinity, let us worship together our God, who is three in one.
Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Our hearts in true devotion bow. Thy Spirit send with praise.
Thank you. praise for God, the three in one. Let us shape a space that weaves the three through our life and our worship. Let us shape a space for the many faces of God revealed in each of us. We are never alone in our sin and guilt, for God created us and loves us unconditionally. Christ has redeemed us and defeated sin and death, and the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and in our world, making all things new. Therefore, let us confess our sins before our triune God, trusting in God's love, God's grace, and God's power. We confess that we are too easily distracted by our own temporary concerns. We embrace pleasures that do not satisfy and nurture helplessness amid our anxieties. In so doing, we miss the signs of your presence, your joy in the gift of love, your hope in the midst of suffering. Teach us to awaken to your arrival in our lives. Transform our frailty by your power, our afflictions by your healing, our failings by your grace. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of
Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The scripture today is John 3, 1 through 17, which is on page 863 and 864 in your pew Bible. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to take a quick moment to talk with the children, especially both those of you who are in the sanctuary and those who might be joining us from home this morning. But I have a question for everybody. Who in this sanctuary, who at home, has ever memorized a Bible verse? Yeah, we got lots of hands going up. Well, here's one, an easy one. It's only two words. Jesus wept. So if someone asks you to quote a Bible verse, you can quote that one. And that's a good one, too, because it shows us that Jesus had feelings and that he cried like we do sometimes. And that's important to know. But this morning, Miss Anita has read a Bible passage that includes one of those verses that so many of us memorized when we were little. And maybe you've memorized it, too. I'm going to ask everybody who's here, if you've ever memorized John 3:16, to join with me. Now, you may say it in the King James Version or the NRSV Version or whatever version you learned, but let's say it together, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The choir's got it up there. Thank you. I got a little preview too, but this is one of the most memorized verses in all of the Bible. And one of the reasons why it's so important to me is it starts with God so loved. Not just God so loved me, or God so loved my family, or God so loved the church, but God so loved the world. In fact, the word that's used in the original writing is cosmos. God so loved the cosmos, the whole universe. Because God loves the whole universe so much, God gave Jesus to us. God came to be with us as Jesus. So I want you to remember that God loves you and God loves the whole world. And no matter what, God is always with you and with all of us. Let's pray together. God of love, we thank you so much for your love, that you love us and you love the whole universe. Help us to receive your love as a gift, and help us to share your love with others, just as you shared Jesus with the whole world. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, I think I memorized that verse, John 3:16, in vacation Bible school, probably when I was about 6 or 7 years old. What I didn't learn when I memorized that verse, though, is where it comes from in the Bible. I didn't know the story of what was going on in the story at the time that Jesus said those words. It was only later that I learned Jesus said those words to a man named Nicodemus, a Pharisee. I think it's always helpful to know, if we hear a verse from the Bible, what the context is and what's going on around it that makes it extra special. So if we back up a little bit, we're in John's gospel. And John's gospel is a little different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The way Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story of Jesus, he spends most of the story in Galilee, up north, going about his ministry. And then at the end of the gospel, he comes to Jerusalem. And it's there toward the end that he turns over the tables in the temple and gets in all sorts of trouble and then gets arrested and crucified and rises from the dead. But in John's gospel, Jesus goes back and forth to Jerusalem several times. And actually, it's at the beginning of the gospel in chapter 2 when Jesus goes into the temple and turns over all the tables. So from the very beginning, Jesus is a troublemaker. He is a threat to the religious establishment, which is why it's even more amazing that right after Jesus turns over those tables, Nicodemus comes to see him. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He is a member of the religious establishment. He has great power and influence, highly educated, probably wealthy. And yet he seeks Jesus out. Now, he comes at night under the cover of darkness because Nicodemus has a lot to lose. If his colleagues on the Sanhedrin were to see him talking with Jesus, who knows what the consequences would be for a man like Nicodemus? So he comes in secret, under the cover of darkness, and yet he shows up. And the first thing he says to Jesus is to affirm that he sees God at work in Jesus. He says, "We know that you come from God because of the wonders that you do." Now, I don't know if Nicodemus is speaking for anybody else or just for himself. But at least his starting point is, I know God is up to something in you. And so we see this well-educated, well-established man who's got his theology worked out, suddenly being drawn to this new movement of the Spirit. And so Jesus engages him in conversation. But it's a confusing conversation. It's confusing to Nicodemus, and it's a little bit confusing to many of us who read it. Jesus begins to talk about being born again, and Nicodemus comes back at him with this question of literal, wait, do I have to go back in the mother's womb and be physically born again? And Jesus says, no, it's a spiritual rebirth. But the last we see of Nicodemus in this conversation, he's scratching his head and saying, how can these things be? And that's where the scene ends for Nicodemus, at least this one. So we're also left with this question. What is Jesus talking about? It seems very important to the life of faith. What does it mean to be born anew, born of the Spirit, born from above? It's something that Christians have talked about and debated and tried to understand ever since. And there's one school of thought that considers the being born again as a one-time conversion that happens in our lives. We have an experience of Christ through the Holy Spirit, and we make the decision to follow Jesus, to let Jesus into our lives, and then we've turned a 180 and we're on a different path. And it happens that way for many people. I'll never forget meeting a pastor in South Africa when I was on a pilgrimage there. We met with him because he was deeply involved in the struggle against apartheid, and we were learning more about his story. But before he became a pastor, he was not a very nice guy. He told us a little bit about his history and how he ended up in prison for theft. And as he was in prison, someone brought him a Bible. He'd never been raised in the church, didn't know much about the faith. And sitting there alone in his prison cell reading the Bible, he felt God's presence and God's love and forgiveness and mercy. And he got down on his knees and he gave his life to Christ. After that, after he left prison, he said the Spirit led him to knock on the door of a church, and there was a pastor who opened the door and said, "I've been waiting for you, and the Holy Spirit told me you were coming today." It's this wonderful, miraculous story of the journey he went on after that. But it does happen sometimes that someone encounters Christ in their lives and it's a 180-degree conversion. But for many of us, our journey of faith isn't quite like that. It's not a 180-degree turn from one day to the next. For many of us, it's a more gradual process of growing in understanding and love and faith. Like many of you, I was brought to the baptismal font as a baby, not this one. One in West Tennessee. But whenever we bring a child to the font for baptism, we place the water on their head and we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then all of us together pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in their lives. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Born of water and the Spirit. That's what Jesus said. No one can enter the kingdom of God until they are born of water and the Spirit. And if that gift is given to us in childhood, what a tremendous gift it is. And then we are raised in the faith by a church that shows us how to love and how to serve, and we learn more and more about the love of God as life goes on. I have a good friend who's a professor of religion at Belmont University, and she invites me periodically to come and speak to her religion classes and just to tell my story. And I've found that over time, as I've gone to her classes, I've organized the story of my life around these moments of being born again and again and again. Moments when God took what I thought I knew about God and stretched it or blew it up or expanded it or broke it open so that what I knew or what I thought I knew about God grew into something bigger and larger and deeper than I had ever imagined. Nicodemus asks Jesus, "Do I have to go back into the mother's womb?" No. But there are some things, if you're going to be born again, that you might have to unlearn. Things you thought you were certain about that now maybe you're not so certain about. For example, in my own life, I grew up raised in the church, and I had this understanding of God that God had a will and that everything that happened for a reason, and God was moving the pieces of our lives like a chessboard. But my senior year of high school, as I've shared before with this congregation, my boyfriend was killed in a car accident. And suddenly that understanding of God and how God worked didn't make sense anymore. I felt without a doubt the abiding presence and love of God holding me, that God was real and God had us all. And yet, I knew deep in my heart that God did not cause Steve's death. It was not the will of God that he die in that way. And so I had to work through new questions and new understandings and stretch my understanding of God. It happened again when I went to college and I began to make friends with people who were Jewish and Buddhist and agnostic and began to ask questions about the universal love of God and how God works in our lives and in our world. And I could tell you again and again and again all these different ways that God has stretched me and broken apart what I thought I knew. And it's not over yet. The Holy Spirit is constantly working on us and helping us to be born again and again and again and again. And if you're like me, and if your journey is more of a gradual one, then you have your patron saint in Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man of faith when he met Jesus. He knew the God of Israel. He loved the God of Israel. He served the God of Israel. And yet he saw in Jesus something new and something different that God was up to. But in that first story, he was confused. He wasn't quite sure. He left in the dark, just as he arrived in the dark. But we see him again, two more times in John's gospel. The second time we see him, he's standing in a meeting with the Sanhedrin, and they're talking about arresting Jesus and getting him out of the way. And Nicodemus stands up and says, "Is it part of our law that we convict a man before he's on trial?" It's not the most courageous move, not perhaps as bold as he could have been, but he took a step in broad daylight in front of the Sanhedrin to speak up. And then we see him again at the very end of the gospel. As Jesus' body is removed from the cross, it is Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, two members of the Sanhedrin, who take his body and anoint it for burial, something normally a family member would do. And so by the end of the gospel, we see Nicodemus in the light of day, claiming Jesus as family and as Savior. Most likely there were other things Nicodemus had to learn as the years went by. And no doubt there are many things that I have to learn and you have to learn. But the good news, and maybe the bad news, is that God's not finished with us yet. Our work is never done on this side of eternity. We will continue to be stretched as individuals, as a church, as a culture, as a society, toward the kingdom of God. And that is going to be our work. And wherever we think we are is not where we will ultimately be. It's hard work. And that's why we need this community of faith to come and be nourished and refreshed to go back out and continue the work. But it's also good news that God is not finished with us yet. We are not who we once were. Thanks be to God. And we are not yet who we will be. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In hearing that word, let us respond by affirming our faith using number 883 in the hymnal, A Statement of Faith, the United Church of Canada. Please rise in mind, body, or spirit. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us, others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team, to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the weary, God of the silent and silenced, God who faithfully journeys with us, God, keep us forever on the path of Christ-likeness, we pray. It is in the sacred space that we simply first offer two words, and that is thank you. We thank you, O God, because when looking down through the corridors of history, you have kept us between the pages of grace and mercy. Even in the world that continues to promote injustice and oppression against the marginalized and the unheard, you have still kept us. And in this space, O God, we realize that we are standing on the shoulders of those who came before and the answered prayers of those who one day saw freedom for all from afar. For many of us, it has not been easy. We have had more questions than answers, but yet, God, let us never lose our faith and hope in you. Again, God, it is in this moment that we come and bring all of who we are. We come with our questions. We come with our concerns. We come with our fears. We come with our anger. We come with our hurt. We come with our love, and we come with our joys. And God, in this moment and for the rest of our days, let us always seek your guidance and be continuously renewed by your strength. Continue to show us who we are and that we are made in the image of you. Remind each of us that our stories are not yet over and are still being written. Challenge us to be more loving, more understanding, and more caring. May we always be aware of your presence and be reminded that we are loved. God, be in front of us to guide us, behind us to protect us, above us to cover us, below us to uplift us, on our left and our right to walk beside us, and most of all, be within us to give us strength and peace. Let us always honor the sacredness of who you are and continue to fill us with your grace, peace, and love as we lift up not only this prayer, but the prayer that was taught by Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and feel led. For those who are worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or the chat. For those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex and in the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your love offering following the service. Let us offer now our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally. Amen.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with us and accompany us on the journey as we move ever toward greater love. Amen.